Hello and welcome to the Soul Refuge Podcast. My name is W.F. White. I am a born-again Bible-believing Christian, and Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Be blessed. The rejected Messiah who made the world. Isn't it amazing, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a Christian, if you've been born again of the Spirit, that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things? Think about that for a couple of seconds. He created the sun, the moon, the stars, created all humanity. And who did it? Jesus Christ. And let's dig into the Word of God here. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's a very powerful passage of Scripture, ladies and gentlemen. It makes it very clear that whoever this Word is, He made all things, and that there was nothing made that wasn't made by this person. And we're going to see very quickly that the person that is being described here is none other than the person of Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. This is the first verse in the Bible, by the way. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." So, if the first verse is telling us that God created the heaven and the earth, and the Gospel of John tells us that the Word created all things, then we know that the Word and God are speaking of the same person. Let's go same John chapter 1, verse 10. "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." A lot of meat there, folks. He was in the world. The world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. When Christ came into this world, ladies and gentlemen, people weren't looking at Him and saying, "Oh, there's God. Oh, that's God." But He was God. So the world knew Him not. Okay? You're going to see that it's the Spirit of the living God that gives the revelation to the believer, shows him who Jesus Christ is. So it says He came unto His own, verse 11 in John 1, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. What is that talking about? It's talking about the religious Jewish people or Jewish people in general. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah or the Christ. And for the most part, that's the same today. Absolutely, you can go over to Israel. Actually, you can go to any highly populated area where there are a lot of Jewish people. You will find that most totally, and I mean most totally, reject the idea of Jesus Christ being the Messiah, being Lord, being God. My, oh, my. Verse 12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So a person, ladies and gentlemen, who's been born again, that's what this is talking about. You've been born of God. It's a wonderful thing. This is when the lights go on. This is when the Spirit of the living God abides in the believer. The lights are turned on. You understand things that you previously did not understand because it is God Almighty who is revealing these things to you. So for the most part, the majority of the Jewish people have rejected Jesus Christ, absolutely rejected Him. Obviously, there were small pockets here and there of believers, including the followers of Jesus Christ, the original disciples. So don't miss this. Very important. The Apostle Paul in Galatians 3:26 wrote this, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." This is how you become a child of God. It's through faith. And this man, don't forget, was Jewish. So he says here, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." This is how you become a child of God. Is there anything more important than knowing you're right with God and that you're a child of God? I mean, think about that. We live in this world. You know, some live long lives, others do not. You know, we're not promised another day in this world. I mean, what could be more important than knowing whether you're right with God? I mean, if you're not his child, where will you spend eternity? The Bible says you're on a road to destruction. Obviously, we're talking about the road to hell, ladies and gentlemen. So this is what I want to get across here. This is how you can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." That's just, speaking of John the Baptist. So here he's talking about Jesus Christ, and he's saying, he's preferred before me, for he was before me. He was talking about Jesus being eternal. Because actually in the physical, I've spoken about this before, Jesus Christ was born after John the Baptist. So now here, John is telling the people, this is the guy, this is the one. He's preferred before me, for he was before me. If you look at verse 16, "And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Don't ever forget that. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, there are people out there that say, you know, basically they say the gospel of grace began with Paul. You know, folks, there's no end to false teachers, folks. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we're speaking of somebody who was eternal here. Proverbs verse 4, chapter 30. So it's Proverbs 30, verse 4. It says this, "Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell?" Now think about this. This is Old Testament, folks. And we're talking about God Almighty here. Who ascended up into heaven? Who descended? We're talking about the Creator. Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? And it says, what is his name and what is his son's name? You see, the Son of God is the eternal Son of God. He was always there, ladies and gentlemen. He was not created, as many of the cults teach, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Watchtower Society. They believe Jesus Christ is a created being. Oh, yes, they do. I've spoken about that before. And Michael the Archangel and all that. That's something you have to remember. Luke 2:25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." So the Holy Ghost, folks, I want you to see this, revealed to this man, Simeon, that he would see the Messiah come into this world before he died. This is powerful. And he was a dedicated man of God, a Jewish man waiting for the consolation of Israel. And think about that. The Holy Ghost revealed to him that you will not see death before you see the Lord's Christ or the Lord's Messiah. So I want you to see that the Messiah came at a certain point in time. There's not another Messiah coming. There's no need to wait. Jesus Christ is the Messiah of Israel. He's the one that the Jewish people need. He's the one the Gentiles need. Let's go to Luke 2:27. "And he came by the Spirit," this is speaking of the same man, Simeon, "and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." So don't miss this. Simeon came by the Spirit. In other words, it was the Holy Spirit who prompted him to do this. Go to the temple. So he's prompted to go into the temple. Now the parents, this is speaking of Mary and Joseph, Joseph being the stepfather of Jesus, because we know that Jesus Christ was miraculously conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so there was no intimate relations between Joseph and Mary, but now they're coming into the temple. And now this well-dedicated man of God, Simeon, picks up Jesus in his arms, and he blesses God. He says, basically saying, look, I can die now. It's okay. Let your servant depart in peace. Watch this, verse 30. "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." I'll stop right there. If you're Jewish, you're listening, this is it. This is what you need to hear. Salvation, your salvation came into this world basically 2,000 years ago. It's him, and there is no other. There's no need to wait. Another, no matter how old you are, young or old, you need this salvation. This is God's salvation for both Jew and Gentile. Verse 31, "which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Here it is. This is the Messiah of Israel. His name is Jesus Christ. So this man, Simeon, came into the temple that day by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God did that for a reason, said, this is the one. This is the salvation of my people, Israel. Chapter 2, Luke, verse 36. "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, that's 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Israel." So here's a woman, she's a widow for 84 years, folks, a dedicated woman of God. Think about that, 84 years, what? It's amazing. And she came in at the same instant. And you can, it's guaranteed she came in by the power of the Spirit also, even though it doesn't mention the Spirit there. She came in. She was moved of God. And what did she talk about? She spake of him, speaking of Christ, to all them that look for redemption in Israel, in Jerusalem, it says. So think about that. She's speaking about redemption. So here, folks, salvation and redemption is found in the person of Jesus Christ. We have Simeon, and then we have Anna for the confirmation. That's the way the Lord works. And it's revealed, and they're telling all of these things to Mary and Joseph. It's amazing, and everything that went on. You know, I read an article just a couple of days ago in the New York Times, and it was talking about a rabbi by the name of Chaim Kanevsky, if that's the pronunciation, 93-year-old man, and they had a picture of him, you know, long gray beard, and they described him as being Israel's Prince of Torah, and they say he reads basically the Torah like 17 hours a day. I mean, think about this. Think about that. And it had a picture, and you know, it says people line up for hours, I think every day, young and old. There was a picture. You could see them outside the house that he was in, line up, and they ask for his blessing, or they'll be asking him questions, because basically he's like the leader of thousands upon thousands of Orthodox Jews. So his name is Chaim Kanevsky. But the point I want to make to you folks is that he's not a believer in Jesus Christ. He does not believe, obviously, that Jesus was the Messiah, you know, the same Messiah who came about 2,000 years ago. They don't believe that. But they're coming to this man who reads the Torah for 17 hours a day, Now, let me read something to you from the book of Acts, chapter 13. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. So here it's being preached that the word of salvation is talking about Jesus Christ. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, meaning Christ, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him, speaking of Christ. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain, meaning Christ. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre, but God raised him from the dead. So what I want you to see here, it says they knew him not. Obviously, they did not receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day. So keep that in mind, as that I spoke about this Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky. He's reading the Torah 17 hours a day, and people are lined up asking him questions for hours every day. He's the leader of thousands upon thousands of Orthodox Jewish people. But this verse describes them here. They don't know the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day. So you can miss it, folks. And it's the Spirit of God who reveals the truth to those who are hungry for the truth. So we're talking some serious things here, folks. You can know the Bible. This is not just talking about Jewish people. It's talking about anybody. Gentiles, you can read the Bible day in and day out and still not be saved. A lot of people like a lot of knowledge. They like to do things, read the Bible, but they've never been born again of the Spirit. So you need to call upon the Lord. Ask the Lord to open up your eyes, and he will do just that. So, a lot of people are living under the Old Testament law. Let me read something from the book of Romans, chapter 3. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So if you look at verse 19, it says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. You see, the law of God, speaking of the commandments of God, stops every mouth, folks. You know, every man is proven to be a sinner in need of salvation by the very law, okay? It says, and all the world may become guilty before God. So whoever you are, man, woman, young, old, you're guilty in the sight of God. So the myth of the good person goes out the window once the law of God does its perfect work. So it says in verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law exposes sin in the heart of man and woman. It's like a spiritual x-ray machine. So it annihilates, absolutely destroys the idea of a person saying, well, I'm a good person, I'm getting to heaven because I'm good. No such thing. This is why we have the scriptures to point you to Jesus Christ, all right? So don't forget that. Verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Remember Anna the prophetess, she spoke about redemption, people who were looking for redemption. So it says here, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, meaning Christ, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. So very important that you see that, folks. It's by faith. It's not by works. And you know, there are some people that teach when you talk about faith, they'll talk about faith being a work. If you think you're saved by faith, this is something Calvinism will teach. I'll do a thing on that, folks, to show you the absurdity of that teaching. By the way, you have faith. You believe your faith saves you, and this and that. Even that's a gift, folks. You can really get crazy with some of these teachings that are around today, folks. We have faith in God. It's not of works. They believe that faith is a work. It's incredible. It's insanity, folks. So makes it very clear it's not by works, folks. It is not by works at all. Nothing to boast about. We have nothing to boast about, ladies and gentlemen. Faith is not a work. Don't ever forget that. So let's go to Romans chapter 5 as I close it out here with very popular verses here, very important verses. Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, or perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There it is. We give all the glory to God. Christ died for us. Awesome. While we were yet sinners, we realize we need a Savior. And you realize, you study the Scriptures, you hear the word preached, the word convicts us of our own sin, and that's just what the Holy Spirit does. And you realize, I need mercy. And the law of God, the word of God, does its perfect work, and the person turns with a free will. It's a free choice, ladies and gentlemen. Hear me now. And they turn to the Lord, okay? And they put their faith in the Lord. We realize the awesomeness of the love of God toward us. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, young or old, you're either justified by the blood of Jesus Christ or you're not. You are either saved from wrath through Christ or you're not, as you listen to me right now. In other words, you could die today. You could die tomorrow. You could die next week. You're not promised. I'm not promised another day in this world. So you want to make sure you're right with God. You want to make sure that you're justified before him, because once you pass through the door of death, there's no turning back. When all final resuscitation efforts are done and over with, you want to make sure you're right with God. And that's why I speak this to you today. It is through Christ. He came at a certain point in time. You're hearing this for a reason, by the way. I'm here to tell you today that no matter who you are, whether you be Jewish or Gentile, you have the opportunity once again to turn to him and say, I need mercy. I need to have my sins washed away by your blood. That's what this is talking about here. You're saved from the wrath of God. So without that justification, the wrath of God is still upon you. You look at John chapter 3, verse 36. The wrath of God is still upon you. Now, before I came to know the Lord, I did not know this, folks. But I was walking around this world, you know, lost as could be, and yet the wrath of God was abiding upon me, unbeknownst to me. Okay? So, I mean, when I started reading the Word, I said, my, oh my. You know, this is some serious stuff, folks. Listen to me. Let's get real here. Let's get real. The majority of people in the world today, the wrath of God is abiding upon them. If you're a Christian, you know that to be true. I don't care who you are or where you live. To the right and to the left of you, no matter where you go, the majority of people want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And there will be pockets of people. There will be people interested. That's why we preach the word. So, because God can work. Now, they'll hear something, and the Spirit of the living God can quicken it to their heart. And now they can go home and perhaps go out and buy a Bible and search the scriptures for themselves and get saved. Glory to God. This is what this is all about. So verse 10, Romans 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So previous to my coming to know the Lord, I was an enemy of God. You know, you were out there partying, you're having fun. I mean, everyone else around you is doing the same thing. So you're all enemies of God. And you have no idea that you're walking on a broad road to hell. So it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? By the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So salvation, folks. I was made right with God, and this I speak for every other believer in the world. You're made right with God because of what Christ did on the cross. He did that. This is the awesomeness. I don't think in our own human minds we will ever truly understand the beauty and the greatness of what Christ has done for us until we're in glory. You know, we have our finite minds, folks, but it's totally awesome what Christ has done for us, ladies and gentlemen, that we can be reconciled back to God. God already knows everything about you. He already knows you're ungodly. He already knows you're a sinner, but yet he offers you salvation. He offers you the opportunity to be right with God, to be reconciled back to God because of what his son did. Okay? So this is the beauty of salvation. This is the absolute beauty of salvation. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how deep the pit is that you are in right now, no matter where you are in this life, and perhaps you might have trashed the gospel in the past and said, you wonder if God would ever forgive you. Yes, God can forgive you. This is what mercy is about, folks. This is what the grace of God is about. And it's for Jew and Gentile. There's no other way, ladies and gentlemen. There is no other way. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Father sent the Son. He's the mercy seat. He's the propitiation for our sins. It's by his blood. You see that? And Jesus says, you're not coming to the Father unless you come through me. Be blessed.